Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez is toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
All right, welcome everybody. What's going on? This is Fantasy Baseball Today here on Monday, April 29th. Another week in the books. Hope you were successful this week in fantasy baseball. We're going to talk about everything you need to know. Hitters to add, pitchers to add. Heath Cummings and Scott Wider here. I'm Adam Azer. And we got hopefully some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Happy Monday, guys. Scott White, how was your weekend?
The weekend was terrific. I took Friday off, not for this reason, but it made it possible for me to go see the Avengers on Friday. And while I struggled to make it through the 3 hours without visiting the lavatory, I pulled it out. I managed to pull it out.
God.
Because that last hour was so magical that I forgot all about it. I forgot that I had to pee.
You think that was the right word choice there, Scott? Come on now. Yeah. You caught that, right, Heath?
Oh, yes.
Okay. It was actually.
I definitely caught that.
It was outstanding.
What did I do?
You said you had to go to the bathroom, and then your way of saying that you didn't go to the bathroom was you said you pulled it out. What are you thinking here, Scott White? This is a family-friendly show.
The thing I don't understand, because I've seen a lot of people talk about this, like, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to make it without going to the bathroom for 3 hours.
Right?
Well,
do people go to the bathroom every 3 hours?
When the pressure's high not to go to the bathroom, it makes you want to go more.
What?
It's like a purposeness
thing. I am never taking a road trip with you.
At least don't watch the Avengers if you are. All right, guys. Enough bathroom talk here. Heath, I just want to say you're a huge front runner with your Celtics jersey on today.
I've been a Celtics fan for over 30 years. I'm not a front runner at all.
I think that is true, actually. Of course, 30 years ago they were awesome, so you're a front runner. But one hitter to add, one pitcher to add. I'll throw it to you first, Heath. Give me a hitter to add.
I don't know this guy's ownership, but I did add him over the weekend. I made a couple ads. Brandon Lau, I assume, is not available to hardly anyone, but I was able to pick him up. And then Christian Walker was the other one. I'm just about all in. I even picked him up in a 12-team points league this week. He's just absolutely on fire. Only has 5 games this week, but 3 of them are at Coors, so that's like 7 games for anyone else.
Yeah, I think Scott, you would know, but got to be a number of teams with only 5 games this week. Light schedule on Monday and Thursday.
There's 11 teams with only 5 games. So,
right.
You're going to be starting some players with 5 games.
And that's why if you have only 1-star pitchers in your lineup, you might be okay. It's just kind of one of those weeks. So Brandon Lau and Christian Walker. Walker's 80% owned. Lau is probably higher than that. Make sure they're owned. Scott, how about you? One hitter to add.
So Carter Kiboom homered a couple times this weekend and started all 3 games for the Nationals and is shortstop eligible. I don't know that he's must add everywhere. Those head-to-head lineups being so small, you don't necessarily have to add him there. But I made sure he was owned in all my roto leagues, including the 2-15 team leagues I'm in. They just have weekly BAB. And so I put in some big bids on him, some, you know, $1,000 budget over $100 for Carter Kiboom.
All right, yeah, and Kiboom, so he is off to a great start, 250 with 2 home runs, only 1 walk to 5 strikeouts, and he is the most added player in CBS Sports Leagues. I think, you know what, why don't we just look at the rookies, okay? 3 of them in particular, Carter Kiboom, Michael Chavis, he's 35% owned, he's off to a better start than Kiboom. He's played more games. He's played 8 games, but 6 walks, 7 strikeouts, batting 250 with 3 home runs, 5 runs, 1 steal and 2 attempts, and a double. So Michael Chavis actually off to an excellent start for the Red Sox. Meanwhile, Rafael Devers is off to a bad start, and Devers has made 8 errors already. So you've got second baseman on the mend, Nunez starting a rehab assignment today, Pedroia later this week, but they need to win. I mean, I think they're 11-17. So you've got Chavis, you've got Keboom, who it sounds like they do want to give him. I think there's a path to him continuing to play when Trey Turner comes back, if he plays his way into it. And then probably last here, but Kelvin Gutierrez at 1% owned for the Royals. He's up. He's 3-for-7 with a walk and 2 strikeouts. Well, who would you guys prioritize, Keboom or Chavis?
I think I'd rather have Chavis just because second base is so much worse. Like, it's really hard for me, if you told me Carter Keboom was up for the rest of the season, to get him into my top 15 shortstop. There's much easier path to a top 15 second baseman.
The problem with Chavis is, unless he replaces Devers at third, we're talking about a matter of days for him as opposed to a matter of weeks.
Well,
probably.
Why
I mean, maybe they just don't care about getting Dustin Pedroia back in the lineup anymore.
Exactly.
But he's rehabbing.
Exactly. Why can't they just, you know, I think I said this on Friday, a little bit of second base. Devers sits against a lefty, maybe. It was bad, be obviously bad for Devers. A little bit of third base, a little bit of DH. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's less clear over the next 2 weeks, but it's easier for me to believe that Chavis could have a job the rest of the year than it is Keboom.
But if Keboom has a job the rest of the year, it's probably going to be at second base, right?
Right.
At some point.
Right.
I mean, it depends on how he and Dozier perform going forward. I don't think Howie Kendrick would just become the outright starter at second base if Kaboom's playing well and Dozier isn't.
Yeah. But I'd be more worried about Dozier and Kendrick than I would Pedroia and Nunez.
Yeah, Pedroia, you know, he's such a legacy. All right, so those guys, again, Keboom is 62% owned, Chavis 35% owned. And then, Heath, what do you think about Kelvin Gutierrez?
I don't really know much of anything about Kelvin Gutierrez. Like, nothing.
Okay. He must not be such a big deal, but if you're in an AL-only league...
Scott, do you?
I don't remember being particularly impressed when I was looking at the minor league numbers.
God, he's a Royal.
So,
am I getting his name wrong?
No,
career
that's
740
his name.
OPS.
740 OPS. Okay, we'll take a pass on that. Yeah. How about a pitcher to add? I got a few names here, sort of at different levels of ownership. But Scott, if there's one pitcher that needs to be added right now, I think I know who you're going to say. Begins with a R and ends with an Aynaldo Lopez, maybe?
Yeah, I didn't pick him up everywhere, but he was highly available, and that was an impressive start yesterday, striking out 14 against the Tigers. So you have to factor that in. 24 swinging strikes, 17 of them were on the fastball, which is an unusual ratio when you're talking swinging strikes. He did say he's pitching the fastball up in the zone anymore. I didn't get a spin rate reading on that, but usually when they're talking about pitching high with the fastball, it's a high spin rate fastball, which would be a good one that's good at getting swinging strikes. But I don't know if that's Reynaldo Lopez or not. If the 14 strikeout game was in isolation, I probably wouldn't be that interested in picking him up, given that he still has an ERA over 7 on the year and wasn't very good last year. But this was his third good start in a row. So, yeah, I did pick him up in leagues where, like, more than 300 players were rostered, and we'll see where it goes.
Let's be fair to Reynaldo Lopez. His ERA is only 6.03.
Okay.
Yeah, his first three starts were terrible. His last three starts have been 18 innings, 3 earned runs, and those starts have come against the Royals and I think twice against the Tigers. He gets Boston this week. So, I mean, I don't want to set up Scott to make it sound like he's all in on Reynaldo Lopez. He clearly said he isn't. But that was one pitcher who jumped out. It wasn't, for me, guys, it wasn't the most active week of adding and dropping. Heath, any pitchers that stood out to you?
I actually added more hitters this week than pitchers, which is rare, I feel like. Bassett, I think Chris Bassett has to be the guy that we talk about a little bit here. He's made 2 starts so far this season against the Rangers and the Blue Jays. 12 innings, 16 strikeouts, 1 earned run. Made it through 7 innings against the Blue Jays over the weekend. I wasn't particularly excited about him before the season, but this is 2 very impressive starts in a row.
And he's 15% owned, Chris Bassett. And the thing, like, Toronto's 23rd in runs scored, but they've been hitting the ball pretty well lately, and he faced them with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And the Rangers are 2nd in baseball in runs scored, and that's... they might be number 1 in runs per game. If they're not 1, they're probably 2. So far, so good for Bassett. He did have a 3.02 ERA last year in only 47 and two-thirds. And he's at Pittsburgh this week. That is a really interesting one-start streamer. Chris Bassett at Pittsburgh. Let me see where Pittsburgh is second to last in runs scored. Six more runs than the Miami Marlins in two fewer get gosh, the Marlins. 28 games, 78 runs. What a matchup that is. That's why, like, Zach Eflin's start didn't really move the needle for me all that much yesterday. Or when it was yesterday, yeah. Great start against the
Marlins. Yeah, I mean, the same thing with Eichhoff, I think, Friday. I'm kind of excited about the things Eichhoff's done so far, but it's hard to get too excited about seven shutout innings against the Marlins.
Agreed. So the pitchers I had on the, you know, maybe you want to add them list, not so much based on what he did on Friday, but Tyler Skaggs is 64% owned. That just strikes me as a little low. I might be leaving him on my bench this week. I think he has Toronto in a one-start week, borderline. Ronaldo Lopez, Jared Eichhoff, and Chris Bassett. So we talked about two of the four. So I guess, is Skaggs a better ad than Ronaldo Lopez or Eichhoff or Bassett?
Yeah.
Skaggs.
I would rather have, you mentioned Skaggs. Yeah, I would rather have them than those. Yes.
Okay. And then other one-start streamers you could consider, if that's what you're into this week. Sonny Gray is only 78% owned. Still pitching pretty well. Decent start yesterday at St. Louis. Five innings, five strikeouts, two runs. You can live with that, but he's got the Giants this week at home. Sonny Gray, I know that's a lot of ownership, 78%. Vince Velasquez, 58% owned. He will have the Tigers at home this week. They have scored the fourth fewest runs in baseball. Those are the four teams, Miami, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Detroit, that I really look at. I don't know if you guys have anyone else in mind. After that, the lowest scoring teams after Miami, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Detroit are Cincinnati, San Diego, Cleveland, and Toronto. Cleveland, of course, has Lindor back. San Diego may have just lost one of their best hitters. Cincinnati, we think, is better than what they've done. But Miami, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Detroit, those are the big four for me that I think if you want to stream against, those are the ones. Thoughts?
Agreed.
Okay. I don't know about San Diego still, but I could see why you'd put them in there based on the way they performed. I mean,
No, I don't put them in there.
You did not put them in there.
Miami, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Detroit.
Oh, I heard. Okay. All right. Sure.
Okay, great. All right, guys. Let's read an email. We love this email. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. It's from Heath's Nightmare, one of our podcast leaguers. Dear Adam, Chris, Scott, and most importantly, Heath. Hubris is a funny thing, isn't it? It's one of those words you learn in high school, ride for a B+ on an English essay, and then promptly forget. At least you forget until someone says something cocky that ends up making them look silly. On Friday's episode, Adam asked Heath what his record was in the podcast points league. Heath checked his record and said, I'm going to be 3-1. As his opponent last week, I was like, not cool, Heath. Then that weekend, Heath coughed up a 60-point lead and looked like a big dummy. It made me feel good to see him lose after prematurely declaring victory. I couldn't describe what had happened at first, and then it hit me. Hubris. I may not win the league, Heath, but I'm going to beat you. Any response, Larry Bird?
I'm very happy for you. I don't know what your name is because Adam didn't put it in the email thing, and I don't know who I lost to this week.
Let's I didn't put it in the email. I should have put it in the email. Let's get his actual
name.
Was it Chris Towers?
What's your stupid name in this league?
You don't have to ask that. Everyone knows.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You lost to the Raptor Paddock, which is a team name that Scott likes quite a bit. And the Raptor Paddock is Scott Nandy. So you lost to a Scott. How about that?
Congratulations.
All right, we got some big news to get to, including Fernando Tatis and his hamstring injury. And, another big blow for Heath. One of his favorite guys is out for more than a month. We'll tell you about the big news when we come back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
All right, here we go. The news. Fernando Tatis left with a hamstring injury. I don't know the severity of it, but, you know, could be an IL thing. We'll see. I'm not going to speculate. We don't know anything, right? That you don't know anything I don't know?
I don't know anything.
No, and Andy Green was saying it's hamstrings are tricky. He could feel better tomorrow. He could be out for weeks. But yeah, he looked like he was in pain. He did a full split stretching out for a throw at second.
Eloy Jimenez is out at least a month with a high ankle sprain. That's a tough break. The Angels are calling up Griffin Canning. He will make his MLB debut tomorrow. He is on the most added list. Griffin Canning. Scott, what is your level of excitement for Canning, who is now 32% owned?
I'm less excited than curious to see how he performs. I mean, he is a pretty good prospect. He was never one of my favorites, but anytime you're talking about that kind of potential put in a major league role, I mean, it's worth monitoring to see how he does. It does look like they're willing to commit to him. It's not just like a spot start situation. I mean, I suppose if he's terrible, they'll reconsider, but it looks like he might be here for a while.
Griffin Canning has Toronto tomorrow, and then next week he will have Detroit, at least one start at Detroit. So he's interesting. He is a right-hander, 32% owned, as I mentioned. Would you drop Zach Eflin or Vince Velasquez for Griffin Canning?
No.
I wouldn't, no.
Would you rather have Griffin Canning, reading my notes, or Pablo Lopez?
Pablo
hasn't had many good starts, but I like some of the underlying numbers. I think I'd stick with him.
Chris Bassett or Griffin Canning?
I think I'd take the flyer on Canning at that point. I'm not really sure. Bassett's been great in his two starts, but I'm not really sure where the strikeouts are coming from because he hasn't shown much ability to do that in the past.
Okay.
So I think I'd take a flyer on Canning.
Heath, Canning, or Bassett?
I think I'd go Bassett.
Michael Wacha's coming off the IL today. He's at the Nationals and at the Cubs. Start or sit. Michael Wacha, 74% owned.
Sit him. Those matchups.
Okay. Kyle Freeland scheduled to come off the IL today. Start or sit Kyle Freeland at Milwaukee, home against Arizona.
Sit.
I'd be more likely to start him than Wacha, but it's. I'd rather not.
At Miller and at Coors. Yeah.
Cody Allen.
Yeah, I just think he's better than Wacha.
Cody Allen is on the IL with a back injury, a lumbar spine strain. Scott, what's going on in the Angels bullpen?
I once knew a man named Lorenzo, last name Kane, like mine, only spelled differently, no E. So I was in the supermarket looking for a certain type of bread to eat for my breakfast. I walked up to the guy behind the bread counter. I asked, what do you have for breakfast? What would you recommend? He said, well, we have the biscuits, we have the bagels, we have the muffins, we have the English muffins. I told him, stop right there, I know what I want. He said, now, wait a second, sir. I have something else that I baked extra special, a certain sweet bread. And he said, I said to him, well, what's in it? How good is it? He said, well, we put it right there in the dough. We put the cinnamon, we put the sugar, we put some nuts, sometimes maybe a fruit, like a blueberry, cranberry, and we bake it. We pull it back out, more cinnamon and sugar on the outside. It's delicious. It's a real, it's perfect if you have a sweet tooth, a real Hansel and Gretel sort of deal. What about you, Mr. Kane? Do you have a sweet tooth? Are you a Hansel sort of guy? I said to him, no, sir. I prefer my bread buttery. But Michael Caine is wrong. It looks like Hansel Robles is actually the guy. Not Ty Buttry. Like,
great job, Scott.
At least based on the way they were used yesterday.
Yeah, it was just yesterday. But yeah, since Cody Allen was removed from the closer's role, Ty Buttry has made two appearances, and I think two, maybe more, but not in save situations. So that was pretty interesting. But yes, Robles is someone you could pick up. Hansel and Robles. Is that why you did that? And Gretel for Hansel Robles.
Yeah. Okay. So Michael Caine would clearly prefer Buttry, and I would too, for what it's worth. But the way they were used yesterday with Buttry pitching, did it end up not being a safe situation? Buttry pitched the eighth, I believe, and Robles was safe for the ninth. And it looks like, obviously, Allen going on the IL, it's going to be there's more interest in this than there was over the heading into the weekend. More interest in this situation. I think in leagues where saves are scarce, you got to own both. But Robles looks to be in the driver's seat there.
Did you write all that out and read it? You did, right? There's the
I didn't write it out. No, but I rehearsed it a few times. I think that Lorenzo Cain sentence is like my calibrator for getting in the Michael Caine voice. So if ever I pull out the Michael Caine again, like, it's always going to start with that sentence.
Okay, Lorenzo, okay. So Giancarlo Stanton says he could rejoin the team this week, but that doesn't mean, like, play this week, right? Just, like, they were on the road and he could
get on the bench, yeah.
Yeah. But Miguel Andujar could be back this week, so that's interesting. And more Yankees injuries. DJ LeMahieu left with knee inflammation, and Giovanni Urshela left after being hit by a pitch on the hand. X-rays for both players were negative, but, obviously nobody's starting Urshela, even though he's been hitting. But LeMahieu, that would be pretty risky. Williams Ostadio is on the IL with a hamstring injury. Damn it! And Chris Archer's on the IL with thumb inflammation. It has bothered him for his last two starts. And in those last two starts, 9 innings, 9 earned runs, and Archer's ERA has risen from 2 to 4.33. So he will take a little bit of a break. Check on these injuries in this sort of day-to-day fashion. Anthony Rendon. This feels a little risky because he came back in the lineup and then he sat for two straight games after his elbow injury. So he's still dealing with the sore elbow. JD Martinez missed two straight games with back spasms. Christian Yelich left with back discomfort on Sunday. Robinson Cano was hit by a pitch on the hand. Billy Hamilton sat with hamstring tightness. Mitch Haniger left with a shoulder injury. Asdrubal Cabrera's missed 3 in a row with a sore calf. Trey Mancini's day-to-day with a finger injury. All right, a little bit more on ads and drops here. We definitely have to talk about pitchers, including Chris Sale. He finally pitched, and we didn't lead with Chris Sale, so that's progress we're making. But he's among the – I don't know. He had a pretty good start, actually. But there were some struggling studs like Miles Michaelis, Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, so we'll get to them. I don't know that we need to talk about who we added and dropped unless you've got anything really interesting. We could just look at the most added list. Which is
it was a quiet weekend for me. It was the quietest so far in terms of ad drops.
I think everybody was really into the NFL draft and Game of Thrones, and nobody paid attention to baseball this weekend.
And Avengers, come on.
Yeah.
It was a trifecta of big cultural events going on.
Aren't you tired of these comic book movies? Every single one is the same exact thing.
No!
It's the same thing.
Oh my gosh. You sound like such an old man, Adam.
I've been an old man for many, many years now.
It's probably the most impressive in terms of movie world building, probably the most impressive feat in history. I mean, it's hard enough to get a trilogy to connect in a way that's satisfactory. And to do this over a span of 22 movies, make them all interconnected in a way where in terms of which ones just aren't good, it's probably like two or three, you know?
Yeah, but they're all the same.
It's a really impressive achievement.
I'm sorry.
And this movie kind of celebrates all of them while also bringing them all together. It was wonderful. It was great.
Glad you liked him. Glad you didn't have to go to the bathroom. But I only get movie reviews from Michael Caine going forward. Cardi Kiboom, number one on the most added list. Emilio Pagan is number two on the most added list. I just feel bad, Heath, for all the Jose Alvarado owners, because this Rays bullpen is crazy. Pagan got the save, I think, on Saturday, or was it Sunday? And then Diego Castillo got one the next day. Yeah. and Alvarado pitched, I think, in both of those games. So should we be picking up Emilio Pagan? He went from 0 to 29% owned.
I was going to say, and I didn't know what his ownership was, but I was going to say, I think Emilio Pagan should be owned in about 30% of leagues. So I think fantasy owners, great job. That was the appropriate amount of adding Emilio Pagan. We can stop now. He's not going to be valuable in any points league. He's not going to be valuable, I don't think, in like a more shallow categories league, but probably most of our 12-team categories leagues, somebody is that desperate for saves, and he's probably going to help you in ratios as well. So yes.
I think the ownership needs to be a little higher than that.
It does... I said 30. It's 29. One more person needs to add him.
I don't think there's a roto league where I'd let him go unowned. I think, you know, maybe something shallower than 12 teams.
Yeah, but I think 55% of our leagues are points leagues.
All right, so how about this? Would you rather have Pagan or Robles?
Robles.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Robles, but I was looking at both of them. Also, in leagues where I need saves, and maybe you're about to get to this, I was looking at Luke Jackson, because AJ Minter is clearly not getting it done in the Braves bullpen after a huge blown save on Saturday that raised his ERA up over 9 with a whip approaching 2. He nearly blew a save yesterday, too, and Luke Jackson had to come bail him out. I don't think... I'm skeptical Luke Jackson is really closer material, but he has been one of their more reliable pitchers of late, and they don't have much else to turn to. So he's kind of interesting, you know, below Robles and even below Pagan.
Griffin Canning, number 3 on the most added list. Mike Soroka, 2 starts this week. He's number 4. Mike Zunino has been hitting well. He's number 5. So I guess if you need an Astudillo replacement, just know that Zunino is a lot better in roto leagues, because his plate discipline is so bad, but ride the hot hand.
I do think there's some interesting stuff going on with Zunino. I don't know that it means anything, but he is with the Rays now. It's his first year with them, and so never mind. He struck out a bunch over the weekend. He had gone like 12 games with 2 strikeouts.
Oh, really?
Thought maybe he was making a little more contact, but I think he has 5 over the weekend, so never mind.
No, oh, it's interesting. But 3 walks, 18 strikeouts, but okay, we'll keep an eye on it. Dwight Smith is number 6, Orioles outfielder. Renato Nunez is number 7, Orioles infielder. Talked about them a lot last week. And number 8 is John Means, Orioles pitcher, who's relief pitcher eligible, and he's staying in the rotation. And John Means, you know, he's about the same ownership as Chris Bassett. And who would you guys rather have? Means so far is a 1.74 ERA, 6 walks, 23 strikeouts in 20 2/3. He has made 3 starts out of 7 appearances.
I am interested in Means. I haven't had an occasion to add him or Bassett for that matter, but Means changeup looks like it could be a really good pitch. And if a pitcher has a single pitch like that, that, you know, looks like it could be among the best at generating whiffs in baseball, then it doesn't take a big leap from there for him to just be an effective pitcher outright. So I'm at least keeping an eye on him. I don't know that he deserves to be much more than 18% owned right now, but he has my attention.
Yeah, I would rather have Bassett. I am interested in both. I think there's a decent chance with his stuff and the opportunity he's got that the ends justify the means.
But wait, but you'd rather have Bassett?
Yeah.
Okay. Heath, 2 more guys I want to talk about here. Josh Reddick is 36% owned. Only 1 lefty on the schedule for the Astros this week. And Eric Thames is 24% owned. So Reddick and Thames available in many leagues, 75% or more, basically. Do you think now's the time to get them before it's too late, or are these just hot hand plays?
I think they're just hot hand plays.
All righty. Buy low or heck no with some stud pitchers. Tell me if there's anything here that's making you say, you know what, they're great, but I'm avoiding them. I don't want to buy low. Or they're not great, you know. That was a really bad way to frame it. Buy low or heck no. Chris Sale. Chris Sale, buy low or heck no.
I'm still wondering how much you can really buy low on him. There's even with his last 2 starts, the end result being very promising. There are still a lot of naysayers out there who maybe are having an influence on the sale owner. I just wonder if the sale owner hadn't traded before these 2 starts, why he would choose now to trade. And I do think things are moving in the right direction here. You know, three starts ago, he showed he still could pull out the velocity if he wanted to. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about how he's pulling it back on purpose. And yesterday's start, he was getting hit hard very early, but then the pitching coach noticed something in his delivery after about the third or fourth inning, and he was terrific after that. The exit velocities are still high off of him, but getting more whiffs, like I said, he showed the velocity a few starts ago. I think he's going to be okay. So buy low if possible.
Yes, I'm definitely buying low. He has fallen another spot in my rankings, but only because Clayton Kershaw moved ahead of him.
Kershaw baffles me. I just have a problem where I just velocity is so important to me, and he just doesn't have it. But gosh, the results have been so good for Clayton Kershaw. And
well, and I think it shows that like the Chris Sale thing, throwing slower, might have worked better if he had Clayton Kershaw's command. Like Kershaw doesn't have to throw hard to be an awesome pitcher. He puts the baseball wherever he wants to.
It's true, and his curveball is still like incredible, getting whiffs on that pitch. Jacob deGrom and Noah Syndergaard, guys. Do you see causes for concern here? DeGrom says that he feels fine, but his mechanics are off. Noah Syndergaard said, quote, "Right now it just feels like I don't have trust in my slider and my curveball. Every time I get a new baseball out there, it feels like I am holding an ice cube. Every baseball I get feels as slick as can be. I have zero grip on the ball." That was Syndergaard. He has one quality start in six starts. DeGrom has a 4.85 ERA and has given up 14 runs in his last 13 innings, and he's already had a DL stint. So do you want to buy low on them, or are you nervous? And look, if you can turn Caleb Smith into them, yeah, obviously. But okay, so don't take it so literally as like the last guy on your roster. Are you willing to give up something substantial, a good player, for DeGrom or Syndergaard in hopes that you're getting a great player?
I would, in most every league I'm in, I would much rather trade a good, like non-starting pitcher for a good starting pitcher, just because it's so hard to find a good starting pitcher. And I do believe they're both still good starting pitchers. Syndergaard, as you said, has allowed four or five earned runs in every start but one. But unlike Chris Sale, the exit velocity is very low against him. He's not getting hit hard at all. And obviously the velocity's there. I think he's going to be fine in the long run. DeGrom too. I mean, it seems like a mechanical thing. They say the elbow feels good. The MRI that he finally did have confirmed that the elbow's good. And he had a couple great starts to begin the year. So I think he's going to turn things around quickly. I like both as buy low options.
They are both buy low options. Syndergaard has fallen a little bit in my rankings. I think there's 16 def aces, and he's still in that tier, but he's 16th now for me.
So who'd you move him behind?
I'd rather have Greinke.
Greinke. He's pitching great.
I think I'd rather have like Paxton, Carrasco.
Okay. All right. Corey Kluber, guys. You have any concerns about him? He's got a 5.81 ERA, 15 walks, 35 strikeouts, and 31 innings. He will face the highest scoring team in baseball this week, the Seattle Mariners. Corey Kluber. Yeah, like, I would buy low on him, on Kluber, but I was a little nervous about him going into the season. He's probably fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, if things continued down the same path in terms of where he looked like he might be regressing, I'd be more nervous. But the swinging strike rate's back up from, you know, closer to where it was 2 years ago. So I'm not that concerned. I think he's going to be okay. I don't see any major red flags here for Corey Kluber.
The only thing that concerns me a little bit is the walks, because his control has always been so. He has three starts already this year with more than three walk, or at least three walks in less than six innings. That doesn't sound like Corey Kluber at all. And that might prevent him from being a top 10 starting pitcher.
All right. I mentioned four elite guys, Sale, DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Kluber. Who concerns you the most?
Syndergaard.
I would say Kluber.
Okay. All right. Then I got two more. Miles Michaelis and Kyle Hendricks. Buy low or heck no?
No.
I mean, that's obviously a low standard to begin with. We're not talking about ace level talent here, although Michaelis came pretty close last year. But I would say, yeah. I would say heck no on those two. Michaelis, especially the fact that he's, I mean, he dominated mostly because he kept the ball on the ground last year. The fly ball rate is way up. He's already at a halfway to last year's home run total. We know he's not much of a bat misser. I mean, he could obviously get things back under control and be a great ground ball pitcher again, but, I don't think the upside is so high, and that I wasn't so confident coming in that I'm just going to assume it.
The thing is, I still think I would rather have Miles Michaelis than one of the Stallions. So if you could make that type of trade, I still think Miles Michaelis is going to be valuable, more valuable rest of the season than Chris Paddock, especially in a points league. So I guess I still would buy low on him.
Well, the only Stallion who's going to give you, who you could really sell high on right now, is Caleb Smith. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to trade Caleb Smith for Michaelis.
Oh, I man. Would. You would. One would. And we wouldn't trade Caleb Smith for Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks. I mean, then.
No.
I don't know if it's just he's done or what. But 5.33 ERA. He does have a good strikeout rate, 24 and 25 and a third. But and last time out, he had 11 strikeouts.
I just think he's like the NL version of Rick Porcello, where. Like it doesn't take being off much to just have a disastrous start.
Alrighty. We got some pitchers. Those are some bad pitchers. How about some good ones? Ones that might be better than we thought. And we'll update you on some bullpen stuff. Talk about some hitters who are double donging right now. Like all of the Twins, they hit 13 home runs in 3 games or something like that at Baltimore. It was pretty incredible. But we're going to take one more quick break here on Fantasy Baseball Today. Better than we thought. When we come back, we'll be right back.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS, here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Finally, not letting you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Got some pitchers for you. They are doing some awesome things. Hyunjin Ryu, 10 strikeouts in 7 innings against the Pirates. He has a 2.96 ERA. Last year he had a 1.97 ERA and more than a strikeout per inning and a 1.01 whip. It is a 1.02 whip. I mean, is he better than we thought? Is Hyunjin Ryu just like awesome?
It's beginning to look that way. Yes. I especially like that, including this weekend start. He's already made a couple of 7-inning starts this year, so it doesn't look like the Dodgers are babying him despite his injury history, which is a good thing.
Yeah, when you've got 8 starting pitchers, just let him go. Yeah. He'll go on the IL for a couple weeks, and you'll bring one of your other great starting pitchers up.
I think one of the most interesting guys in fantasy baseball right now is Marcus Stroman. 86% owned, 16 swinging strikes against the A's. They don't strike out that much, and he has a 1.43 ERA. He's only 1-3. But 36 strikeouts in 37 and 2/3. I meant to look at the data. Is he throwing? I feel like he's throwing his slider more this year. And is Marcus Stroman becoming a pitcher that's actually going to get us strikeouts and not just be sort of a points league specialist? Is he better than we thought, Marcus Stroman?
Well, I mean, if you're comparing the standard to last year, it's not surprising he's, you know, if you made last year the standard, it's not surprising he's better than we thought. But he is doing some things a little differently. The ground ball rate is down. He used to be kind of up there with Dallas Keuchel in terms of league outliers, which was the key to his success. It's still high, but it's down. Swinging strike rate is up. Yes, he is throwing his slider a lot more, and that trade-off seems to be going well for him. So I am if I am a Stroman owner right now, knowing how hard it is to find that workhorse type who is reliable, a reliable workhorse, I think I'm just sticking with him.
And is Mike Minor this good, Heath? 2.88 ERA, 39 strikeouts and 40 and two-thirds. Four starts of seven or more innings. And how about this? Four starts of seven or more innings and two or fewer earned runs for Mike Minor against teams that have ranked second, third, fifth, and 26th in OPS versus lefties. So three, like, really tough matchups based on early stats, and he's gone seven or more with two or fewer earned runs against them. That's Mike Minor. Is he really this good?
He's definitely had stretches where he looked almost this good in the past. I don't think he's quite this good. I wouldn't expect him to have a sub 3 ERA, but I do think that he is a must-start starting pitcher right now, and I wouldn't be that surprised if he was a must-start starting pitcher for the rest of the year.
I mean, I would have been surprised to hear someone say that a few weeks ago, you know?
Like, right. Yeah, he is better than we thought.
That's wild.
Don't think he's quite this good.
And Domingo Herman. Yeah, this felt a lot better before the sixth inning. He had five scoreless innings at San Francisco and then kind of fell apart in the sixth, gave up four runs. And I do wonder if he can go deep into games. He hasn't really done that. He's only had one start with more than 89 pitches, and Domingo Herman has had a pretty easy schedule so far. He'll get Minnesota this week. But really, he's having a great year. I think he's tied for the league lead in wins, 5-1, 2.56 ERA. Scott, Domingo Herman, is he better than we thought?
He also leads the AL in whip, which is a testament to the fact that he throws strikes. Sure, I think he's better than... look, he's must-own now, and I don't know that he was getting drafted as more than a late-round flyer, and that was only towards the end of spring training when it was clear they would have enough players on the IL to give him a spot. He has three pitches that generate swings and misses. The strikeout rate actually isn't even as high as I was hoping it'd be, but he's improved enough in other ways that it's all come together for him. And it's rare that if I'm a Domingo Herman owner, that I'm sitting him.
All right. So guys, rank Domingo Herman, Mike Minor, and Marcus Stroman. Heath and Scott, Domingo Herman, Mike Minor, Marcus Stroman.
Stroman, Minor, Herman.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Minor, Stroman, Herman, but they're all like in a range of 15 pitchers, I feel like, which sounds like a lot, but in that stretch where there's so much flipping around, it's really not.
Yeah, I think I have all three of them within like nine spots in my rankings. They are pretty close, between 40 and 50.
All right, bullpens. Anthony Swarzak blew a save on Friday. He hadn't pitched in 6 days. Roenis Elias got the win on Friday. He pitched two scoreless innings. They're owned in right about the same amount of leagues, right about 50%. Anthony Swarzak and Roenis Elias, who would you rather have in the Seattle bullpen?
I think Swarzak.
Yeah, barely.
Hector Neris has the last three saves for Philadelphia. He is 44% owned. How would you compare Neris to the Seattle guys, the Tampa Bay guys, anyone else we talked, the Angels guys, anyone we've talked about today, Hector Neris?
I think he's right there at the top for me. It's been surprisingly consistent how often Gabe Kapler's gone to him in the ninth inning. Encouraging.
But
for people looking for saves.
What about David Robertson? I mean, he will be back.
What about David Robertson?
Yeah.
Was he really being used like a closer before he went on the injured list? No, he wasn't. So I think Neris keeps this role.
Okay.
For the time being.
We talked about Pagan. There was a weird situation in the Cardinals bullpen yesterday. You may have noticed Jordan Hicks got one out in the eighth, and then John Gant got a one out save in the ninth. I couldn't figure it out, but it's strange. It was 3-0, I think, Cardinals, or it was 2-0. Hicks came in, got out of the inning. Then the Cardinals scored three more runs. And they thought, well, we could take Hicks out of the game. It's 5-0. They bring in a reliever who gives up two runs, and then they bring in Gant for the save. Okay, so no big deal there. Hicks has been awesome. Butchery, Hader. Josh Hader got a two-inning save. Jeremy Jeffress had a bad outing on Saturday. Hader came in and rescued him. But Jeremy Jeffress, that was his first appearance allowing an earned run in five appearances. He has not been used as a closer yet. So how much longer should we hang on to Jeffress? He's 43% owned.
2 weeks.
Very specific.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not making a move for Robles or Emilio Pagan in a league where Jeremy Jeffress is available. But we'll point out Jeremy Jeffress's velocity hasn't been close to what it was last year. So that is concerning. And I'm not sure he's going to be the same guy without it.
And then one more pitcher who is owned in about the same amount of leagues as Swarzak and Neris and Roenis Elias is Blake Parker. He got a save, his fifth save of the season on Sunday for the Twins. Taylor Rogers had the previous two saves for Minnesota. So where's Blake Parker in this mix?
He's right behind Neris. I think he's ahead of like the Mariners duo and anybody in the Angels bullpen ahead of Jeffress. I don't have a lot of confidence in his ability, but I think we can eliminate him from sort of the guys who are plagued by committees right now. He doesn't seem to be.
You guys were the team that dropped Taylor Rogers in the People League, right?
Yes we were.
That was a very fun situation because you guys dropped him. We put in a waiver claim almost immediately. I think he got two saves while he was on waivers. Then we won him. We were very happy about it. And then immediately after he was on our roster, Blake Parker got a save.
Yeah, Parker was sick for a while there.
Oh, that's right. That is right. Good call. And Pedro Strop is 50% owned, and I think I'd rather just have him. He's the guy.
Yeah.
For the Cubs. All right. I'm not going to say much about hitters. We'll just spend the rest on starting pitchers. I will say this, though. Heath, you talked about Brandon Lau. He did sit against some lefties this weekend, so that could be an issue. Also,
I don't think he has any lefties this week, though.
Oh, good. It is really weird, like, doing the show right now and going to Pedro Strop's player page and seeing a video of myself talking. It's freaking me out. News and notes. Because these videos that we do, we're doing the show on video, they get cut up into little VODs and they get put on player pages. It's really wonderful.
Oh.
You can watch us like
how
that.
How fun.
Yeah. Or you can watch
us. You've been doing this job a long time, Adam. Certainly that's not the first time you've seen that.
Well, this is the first time we had the podcast on video.
That's true. The first time this sort of like, we got this Brady Bunch thing going on with the squares.
Yeah. No, but usually the videos are just you, not me. I haven't done really video in like 5 years or something. No.
It's true.
How do I look? Brandon Morrow says he's confident he'll be back this season. So like I said, Strope's the guy right now. Brett Anderson is the first pitcher to face both Vladimir Guerrero Sr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Jordan Zimmermann's on the IL with a UCL sprain. Ryan Zimmermann's on the IL with plantar fasciitis. Should we add Matt Adams anywhere?
I wasn't adding him anywhere, no. I mean, really deep league, NL only, fine, but...
Alex Wood had a setback. Carlos Martinez is nearing a rehab assignment. And Minnesota hit 12 home runs in 3 games at Baltimore. I mentioned that. I thought it was 13. It was only 12. Okay, what do we got? We got about 15 minutes left, and we got starting pitchers to talk about here. Studs being studs, is there anything you want to say about Steven Strasburg, 2 good ones in a row, Clayton Kershaw, David Price, and Charlie Morton? Strasburg, Price, Kershaw, and Morton.
So... There was some concern raised about Price coming into the year having to do with swinging strike rate. Kershaw, obviously, we've talked about the drop in swinging strike rate last year. Strasburg, his velocity's been down this year. All 3 of them, Price, Kershaw, and Strasburg, have career high swinging strike rates so far.
Strasburg was struggling. His last 2 starts have been against San Diego. I think both against San Diego. And as we mentioned earlier, San Diego has been a pretty bad offense so far. So I don't know. Should that taint the success of Steven Strasburg?
I don't think so.
No, wait, I was wrong. It was San Diego and Miami. In fact, his last 3 starts are San Francisco, Miami, and San Diego.
That's a good stretch. You're going to have those. I'm not like he's in that ace tier. He didn't do anything for me to fall out of it. And so these are very good rewarding starts, but him and Kershaw, I feel very good about. Price, I was just wrong about at the beginning of the year, and he's moved up into my top 30 starting pitchers and might move a little higher.
Okay, yeah, just sit him against the Yankees. Last year, Price had a .292 against every team not named the Yankees. And we'd like to see Morton go a little bit deeper into games. How about it? Charlie Morton has pitched 7 innings once since July 1st of 2018. a couple other studs being studs. Why are they called studs? Because they're owned in more than 80% of leagues. Matt Boyd, he might just legitimately be a stud. And then Zach Eflin, complete game, one run, three strikeouts against Miami. The strikeout rate way down. But Boyd, like, wow. Boyd could have been in that better than conversation. How would you compare Boyd to Stroman, Minor, Ermán?
Ahead of all of them.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. And do you think...
Looks like a breakout.
Do you think it's okay to drop Zach Eflin, or do you want to keep him?
I'd like to keep him.
Yeah, I'd like to, but I don't see a lot of reason for excitement. I think the previous two starts where he struggled are closer to my expectations for him than this most recent start against Miami. You know, really low swinging strike rate. Velocity isn't where it was last year. Yeah, I don't think he's that good.
That's Eflin. Studs being duds, part one. Bumgarner, bad. Arrieta, bad. Quintana, bad. John Gray, worse. Bumgarner, Arrieta, Quintana, John Gray. Heath, give me your take on these studs being duds.
Well, I was pretty concerned about Bumgarner coming into the year, and even when he got off to a relatively good start, I didn't necessarily think that it was legit. I don't know that Madison Bumgarner is a must-start starting pitcher anymore. The Gray thing is frustrating because he had really, really started to look a little bit more consistent at the start of this year, and then to have it go this bad in a road start, still, it's just one start. I'm probably going to stick with him.
Yeah, and all four of these guys, Bumgarner, Dodgers at home, Arrieta, Washington at home, Quintana, St. Louis at home, John Gray at Milwaukee. All four of them have tough matchups. How many of them would you start, Scott? Bumgarner against the Dodgers, Arrieta against the Nationals, Quintana against the Cardinals, John Gray at Milwaukee.
The one who I might look to sit just because I don't think he's very good is Jake Arrieta. Now, if I was in a great situation pitching wise, I had a lot of alternatives, I'd consider sitting any of these four. But Arrieta is the one who I really have just no confidence in him, even though this was his first non-quality start of the season this weekend.
If I had all four of these guys on my roster and I needed to start one, it would be John Gray. If I needed to start two, it would be John Gray and Madison Bumgarner. If I needed to start three, it would be Gray, Bumgarner, and Quintana.
What if you needed to start four?
Well, then I would probably be looking for somebody on the waiver wire, or I'd start Jake Arrieta.
I think I would start Vince Velasquez against Detroit over all four of them.
I would over Arrieta for sure. I'm not sure about the rest.
Studs being duds, part two. Luke Weaver, bad against the Cubs. Carlos Rodon, bad against the Tigers. Not everybody's good against the Tigers. He was terrible. Oof,
really bad.
Joey Lucchesi, he's struggling right now. No quality starts in six starts. And Kevin Gausman. Again, why are these guys...
Kevin Gaskin.
Why are these guys studs? They're owned in more than 80% of leagues. But they were all... I think they were all two-star pitchers last week. Weaver, Rodon... No, not Rodon. Weaver, Rodon, Lucchesi, and Gausman. Rodon was not a two-star pitcher. Drop them? Keep them? What do you think?
I think Lucchesi is the one I'm most confident dropping at this point because the whole... he could get away with not facing a lineup a third time through, rarely going the six innings required of a quality start if the ratios were good. But three of his last four starts have been awful, and so I'm not really sure what reason there is to use him anymore. And if you can't justify using a guy ever, why do you have him on your roster? The other three, Weaver, Rodon, Gausman. I'm the most skeptical of Rodon, but he had been good enough that I'll give him a pass for this one awful start and stick with him for now.
The one I'm definitely not dropping is Luke Weaver. I'm going to try really hard not to drop Rodon. I don't care if the other two, whatever.
And now it's time for some waiver wire pitchers. Fringy starting pitchers, part one. These guys are owned in 65 to 79% of leagues. Steven Matz, Sonny Gray, and Derek Rodriguez. Here's what's going to happen with Steven Matz. So he three starts ago, he didn't get out of the first inning against Philadelphia. And he had a two-start week, and I sat him because I didn't want him to be terrible against Philadelphia again and Milwaukee. Tough matchups, going to sit him. So he had two good starts, of course. This week, he's at Milwaukee. I haven't decided what I'm going to do, but I'm probably going to sit him because Milwaukee is so good at home. He's going to do really well in this start, like guaranteed. If I sit him, he's going to do well. Then I'm going to put him in my lineup the following week, and he's going to be awful. That is going to be Steven Matz. I don't think we want Sonny. I don't think we want Derek Rodriguez. That's just my hunch. So between Matz and Sonny Gray, shallower leagues, who would you rather own, Matz or Gray?
Gray.
I think it's Gray, too. It is like that Steven Matz start was so incredibly historically bad.
Yeah.
But everything else has been really good. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why what's good is good. That's the main thing. Like he doesn't have a pitch that's getting any kind of whiffs for him. Still hasn't used the slider that made him a success early on. I don't know why he's succeeding when he succeeds. So that makes me obviously skeptical. I feel like Sonny Gray, we know what makes him good when he's good.
Matz, and also he had that great start against the Phillies, whoever it was, where the strike zone was so big that Harper got ejected. I think it was the Phillies, right? And his neck, right? There was a start like that where we were kind of given, forget it. Who cares? Fringy starting pitchers part two. 50 to 64% owned. I'm going to tie the Skaggs. Plus Brandon Woodruff, Trevor Richards, Aaron Sanchez, finally healthy. Two straight years where he's dealt with finger issues. Matt Strom and Kyle Gibson and Wade Miley. A big group here. Tyler Skaggs, Brandon Woodruff, Trevor Richards, Aaron Sanchez, Matt Strom, Kyle Gibson, Wade Miley. Scott, have I said any names that jump off the page at you?
No. I don't know that any of these guys deserves to be more owned than they are. I have some interest in Skaggs, Woodruff, and Trevor Richards, but I want to consider any of them must-own. I actually dropped Brandon Woodruff in a league this weekend. Trevor Richards, I mean, life comes at you fast. Suddenly, his numbers don't look so good anymore. Two of his last three starts have been pretty bad. Obviously, he's still interesting with that changeup, but not much of a supporting cast, and I think if you cut him loose now, there's not going to be a lot of interest in him on the waiver wire.
Matt Strom does not make any sense to me at all, but I do think we should probably talk a little bit more about him because he had a terrible first start, only lasted 2 2/3 innings. His last four starts since then, he has two walks in the four starts. He has a pair of quality starts in his last two. He's only given up like four earned runs in his last four starts. He's been very good. It's not quite the way that we thought he would be very good, although he did have eight strikeouts in six innings in this start.
It's been Matsy. Not sure what's making him good, but he's been better. Yeah, he's.
Well,
I'm not
the control's
totally
been spectacular. That's one of the things that's made him good.
None of these guys have great matchups this week: Skaggs, Woodruff, Richards, Aaron Sanchez, Matt Strom, Kyle Gibson. Maybe Gibson at the Yankees, but that's what I thought about, like Derek Rodriguez, and it didn't work out. And Wade Miley at the Angels. Wade Miley at the Angels might have the best matchup of this bunch, but he just. Yo, how about this? Wade Miley, 22 straight starts of three earned runs or fewer. He just, you know, doesn't really give you much other than that, but you need some ERA help. Wade Miley might help you there. And Fringy starting pitchers part three, 30 to 49% owned. Pablo Lopez, Reynaldo Lopez, and Jared Eichhoff.
In a way, they're more interesting than a lot from the last group. All three of them. I would probably rank Pablo Lopez ahead of Trevor Richards now among the Stallions. And I would take a flyer on Reynaldo Lopez while he's riding this hot streak, see where it goes over maybe all but Skaggs from the last group.
Okay. And then Heath, I know I promised you that if we didn't talk about Homer Bailey, we wouldn't talk about Lance Lynn. They're the first two guys in the deep league section. Homer Bailey at Detroit.
You're
this
a liar.
Week. Lance Lynn, Chris Bassett, Gio Gonzalez, Tyler Malley, Dakota Hudson, Danny Duffy, Chase Anderson, and Anthony DeSclafani. Did I say any names other than Chris Bassett that are worth looking at?
No, other than Chris Bassett, I'm not interested in anyone on those lists.
All right, I think we're done. See ya. Thanks, guys. Later. Bye. All right, now that's it for Fantasy Baseball Today. Make sure you listen to Fantasy Football Today. We're going to recap the NFL draft. It's going to be wonderful. Thanks so much for listening. We'll come back at you on Tuesday on Fantasy Baseball Today with a Monday recap and your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. See you later.